Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, the Hall of Fame game. It's now officially in the books. I'll speak on who looked good to me and, well, who didn't. Plus, I'll take you inside the locker room and let you hear from some of the players following Thursday night game. And your calls and texts are going to close out the show. It's all coming up on Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for August 5th, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team just every win. Day.
Just win. Pillaging just for fun.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raider podcast free and available on all platforms. And Raider Nation, we did it. We made it through the first preseason game of the 2022 actual preseason, right? The Hall of Fame game, the Raiders and the Jaguars. We've been talking about it for quite a while. Been talking about Hall of Fame week since Cliff Branch is going to be inducted on Saturday. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. But before that could happen, the Hall of Fame game had to take place on Thursday night here in Canton, Ohio. And that it did. The Raiders come away with the victory. We all know victories don't matter in the preseason. Losses don't matter in the preseason. But it's just good to see football back. Had a lot of folks texting me throughout the course of the game, man. Man, it's just great to see football. So glad that football is back. And I'll tell you right now, I didn't even know if it was going to get played on Thursday night. I really didn't. You know, having the weather delay, sitting in the press box, I'm seeing lightning strike, and I'm thinking, man, there's no way this game's going to get underway, because every time a lightning strikes, I think it's like another half an hour. At least that's what we were under the understanding of, and it didn't shake out like that. It ended up being about a 45-minute delay, and then all of a sudden when they got out there and got back out on the field, it was good to go. You know, and it really didn't look like it had rained really hard. And please believe it was raining really hard at one point here in Canton, Ohio. But let's go ahead and get into the game, man. I took a bunch of notes throughout the course of the game, and not real deep notes, but just, you know, jotted down some guys that stood out to me in a positive way and guys that stood out to me in a negative way. And it's funny, on Thursday's show, and again, I apologize for getting the show out a little bit late, but this whole week has been kind of crazy, and this show is getting up a little bit later than I normally would like as well. I've been very busy following the game. I had to do locker room access. I had to do the post-game show with Eddie Pascal from Raiders.com, and then finally got an opportunity to do this show. So much going on, but I would have it no other way. But going into the game on Thursday night, there was three guys that I mentioned that I really wanted to pay attention to. Right tackle Alex Leatherwood, wide receiver Tyron Johnson, aka T. Billy, and then linebacker, undrafted free agent Darian Butler. And I did. I paid attention to all three of those guys. Alex Leatherwood, I thought he did decent. I didn't think he did anything great. I didn't think he did anything bad. I think he pretty much held his own. So that was one guy that got a passing grade for the first preseason game. Wide receiver Tyron Johnson, T. Billy, the guy that everyone always says, throw T. Billy the ball. And T. Billy is always the guy that says, throw T. Billy the ball. I mean, he really loves him some him and always believes that he is open. Well, he had one nice sideline catch, one that I thought was actually incompletion, but then head coach Josh McDaniels threw the challenge flag and won. And so that was a nice little first down catch, but he had two passes that he dropped that he should have had. And I'll tell you right now, if you're fighting to try to make a team, and especially this team, you can't make mistakes like that. You just can't. I mean, there were some plays that happened throughout the course of the game, and they were really kind of later in the game, where I just looked at it and said, well, that's a play that'll get you cut, right? And T. Billy, all the speed he has in the world, you know, he's got to be able to catch the ball, and especially on passes that he should have. There was one that Jarrett Stidham, he stood in the pocket, he got drilled, and it was a deep ball, and it was right off of T. Billy's hands, and he should have had it, hit his hands, he went to the ground, and then he dropped the ball. But T. Billy just did okay. Like I said, the one nice sideline catch was fine, but the two drops are going to weigh heavier than that one nice sideline catch. And then Darian Butler, the linebacker, the undrafted free agent out of Arizona State. I'll tell you what, he's just a guy that's always around the ball. Seems like he's always flying around to the ball. He's always making some kind of play. So Darian Butler, I know he didn't get into the game till the second half, but when he was out there, you knew he was out there. You knew number 58 was out there. So big ups to Darian Butler. I think he's really going to make the Raiders think twice about giving up on that position that he has, because I think he has an opportunity to be a really good player. So those are three guys that I was looking at going into the game. That's kind of how they did in the game. Now, I did take some other notes. Guys in areas of the team that look good. Let's start with the positives first, right? First of all, I thought the play calling was really good. And what I mean by it is not necessarily like every play was great. It's the way, the fashion that the calls got in. I felt like it wasn't up tempo, but it wasn't dragging either. It wasn't like there was indecision on the sideline. I felt like Josh McDaniels was in a really good rhythm calling the plays because, man, if you saw them break the huddle, it was like 17, 18, 19 seconds still left on the play clock when they're breaking the huddle. You know, they're snapping the ball at like 10 or 11. I mean, they had a nice little rhythm, a nice little tempo going. Now, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't hyper speed. It wasn't two-minute drill. It wasn't no timeouts and just trying to hurry up and get down the field. It wasn't that. But you could see that there was a sense of urgency, and that was one of the biggest things that stood out to me throughout the course of the game. I was like, man, they do have a nice little tempo going. That's something that used to drive me crazy about the old regime and John Gruden. And I don't know if there was times where he had indecisions on the play calling, but a lot of times I felt like the play calling wasn't getting in as fast as it should, right? And I felt like when the Raiders were doing something good and positive on offense, they would let the defense catch their breath, you know? And again, the Raiders on Thursday weren't going super fast, but you could tell that they had a little bit of a rhythm to them. How about the screen game? How many times did you scream and pull your hair out last year because there were no screen passes or there was a lack of screen passes? Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Raiders have been practicing screen passes quite a bit during training camp, and I'm not just going to come over on the show and say, oh, man, there was screen pass after screen pass after screen pass. They worked on it a ton in training camp, and you could see that. You see that on Thursday that they did it a lot. And look, that's probably something that they'll have as a heavy part of their offense for the first 3-4 weeks, and then, you know, teams will start being ready and prepared for it, and so then they'll have to shelf it basically and then bring it back out around week 15, week 16 when everyone forgets that, oh yeah, by the way, the Raiders are really good at screen games. But their screen game on Thursday night was really solid. How about Zamir White, the fourth-round rookie out of Georgia? He looked good. You know, remember, he had missed a handful of practices, but he returned to practice earlier in the week and then got some action on Thursday and did really well. 11 carries for 52 yards and ran with a purpose, ran behind his pads, ran downhill. So I could definitely appreciate that. Malcolm Kuntz, the second-year edge rusher, seemed like he was a guy that was kind of flying around. How about this guy? This was probably my biggest takeaway from the game and what I got most excited about. How about Nate Hobbs on the outside? Nate Hobbs is the outside corner, something that we talked about earlier throughout the course of the week, that Nate Hobbs is just a football player and you could pretty much put him anywhere. I still, and I said this on the radio station, that I felt like there's an opportunity for Nate to kind of shadow the best wide receiver on each team. And I'm not saying that that's what he's going to do, but just seeing him line up on the outside and just even looking and watching his technique and kind of studying him, you could tell that he's very comfortable in that role. And look, he played outside corner for a long time, so he knows how to do it. He played slot for the Raiders last season, but pretty much I don't think this is a position on the field he can't play. He's definitely up for the challenge. So I was excited to see that. And think about this. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, nostalgia. How about the Raiders as an organization? How often have they had corners that were just great corners? I mean, in the history of the team, they've had a bunch of really good corners, right? That's just one of the staples of a Raiders team. Could Nate Hobbs be that next guy? I really feel like there's an opportunity he could be that next dude, that big-time name that we're talking about, you know, years and years and years down the line. Like, man, Nate Hobbs, that dude is a beast. He just has that little bit of edge to him. I really like it, but I love what I saw from Nate. Even though he didn't play a whole lot, only had a couple series, he looked good out there on the outside. How about the quarterback position? The backup quarterback, that is, Jarrett Stidham. Clearly the backup quarterback. There's no doubt about it. I mean, look, and there's more preseason games, so Nick Mullins could come back and win that job. But right now, as it stands, Jarrett Stidham is clearly the backup quarterback. And when we got into the locker room, what did they say? Where did they direct us? Oh, hey, Jarrett Stidham's right to the right. He's about to talk. So I'm just throwing it out there. Jarrett Stidham, to me, is really close to locking up that backup quarterback position. The team looked prepared. I felt like that was one of the notes I took. They just looked like they knew what they were doing. They looked like they were out there ready to execute. Went out there with a sense of urgency and had a purpose. So I could appreciate that. And then defensively, I felt like they got off the field pretty consistently, at least in the first half, even the first three quarters, got off the field really consistently. In the fourth quarter, it's a preseason game, fourth quarter, and you know how those goes. But I thought the defense did a really good job. So there was a lot of good and a lot of positives I took away from that game. Now, there were a couple negatives that I took away from there. The offensive line is still a work in progress. I think there's no doubt about that. Brandon Parker, who played on the left side because Colton Miller didn't play, is not a left tackle, and he might not be a right tackle. He He just did not look very good. And I know that he told us when he met with us in the media session that, you know, he was working on a lot of things. He was trying to get better. He was, you know, he heard all the outside noise, but he was going to shut that down and just go out there and play and do the best he can. Well, I'll tell you right now, on Thursday night, the best he could did not look good. Again, I'll give him a little bit of a break because he was on the left side, and that's not where he's going to play. We all know that's going to be Colton Miller's spot, but heaven forbid something happened to Colton Miller and someone has to step up. It will not be Brandon Parker because he did not do a good job on Thursday night. And like I said, all in all, that offensive line is still a work in progress. Matter of fact, they gave up 5 sacks on the day. 5. You can't give up 5 sacks. You just can't. That cannot happen. And also on the offensive line, Dylan Parham, he struggled a little bit, but it's funny. He struggled a little bit, but he also took reps at center. He also took reps at left guard and right guard. So everything on the interior, he took snaps at on Thursday night. So as much as I want to say he struggled a little bit, you got to give him props for being able to move around all around that offensive line. So I guess I can kind of put him as a tweener, right? An in-betweener. He had a decent game, not a good game, and not a terrible game. And look, he's a rookie too. That was his first NFL action. And then I mentioned earlier, T. Billy, he had 2 big drops, and you just can't have that. When you're fighting for a roster spot, you've got to make those plays, especially, as I mentioned before, your quarterback hangs in there, takes a big shot, delivers the ball right where you can catch the ball, puts it in your hand, and you put it on the ground. You just can't do that. That's not going to earn you a roster spot, and T. Billy is one of those guys that is fighting and clawing and scratching, trying to earn a spot on this Raiders roster. Does he have talent? Does he have wheels? Absolutely, but he's got to be able to consistently catch the ball. If you don't catch the ball, those wheels don't matter because the ball won't be in your hand. It'll be on the turf. And that's exactly what happened on Thursday night. So those are really the biggest takeaways. As you could tell, there was a lot of positive and only a couple negatives. So that's not bad for a first preseason game. Remember, it's just the first of 4 preseason games. So again, that's all I got for you for segment number 1 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number 2, I'm going to take you into the locker room, give you some sounds from the locker room. About 3 or 4 of us were able to catch up with about 4 or 5 different guys. So you'll hear from them coming up in segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast after I tell you about Dave. And right now you're probably wondering, Q, who's Dave? I've heard this Dave fella before, but what exactly does Dave do? Who exactly is Dave? Well, Dave is the one that you call when you're in a pinch, right? Simple as that. I mean, when you know that you need some money and life happens, sometimes you just need some money. Maybe your tires on your car went bad, or maybe you have to get some kind of repair that you just did not have in your budget. Well, that's exactly where Dave comes in. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. That's more money to fill your tank, buy wedding gifts, catch up on bills, whatever the case may be. Dave is there for you. You can finally tackle all those expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. There's no interest and no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they need with extra cash. So if you're in a pinch, you need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Right now, download the Dave app from the App Store. That's Dave, D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member FDIC.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to take you inside the locker room, somewhere where we have not been in a very long time. So excited to get back into the locker room this upcoming year and just be able to take you and give you some sounds that you just won't hear. You know, I mean, and it's nothing like earth shattering or anything, but it's just building those relationships, you know, getting these players familiar with you. And so they'll start to tell you stories. They'll start to talk to you. If they don't like you, they'll tell you that they don't like you. I mean, it's cool. It's a great experience. And again, you're not going to hear it on some stream. You're not going to see it, you know, on Raiders.com or anything. This is going to be stuff that we as media members gather ourselves. So in these sounds that you're going to hear, you'll probably hear Vinny Bonsignor. You'll hear myself. You'll hear, I think, Hondo Carpenter's on a couple of these. Case Kiefer's on a few of them as well. I mean, it's just kind of a little bit of a scrum, and we're around these different players. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Let's go ahead and take it inside the locker room. And let's start out with the guy who started the game behind center, and that's Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham was 8 for 15 for 96 yards and a touchdown run, and he got sacked 3 times. But Jarrett Stidham, he was all smiles after the game. Here was that quick conversation with the quarterback.
So take us through just thoughts after getting the first one in your belt here.
Oh, it was good to get back out there, you know. I hadn't played football personally in a live game in quite a while, long time. So it was good to get back out there. I was itching to get back out there, but you know, it was great to get out there with the new teammates and everything, and it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun out there.
Can you tell that guys are starting to grasp maybe this offense a little bit better after being in a game like that tonight?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, anytime, you know, you come into training camp, you know, it's all about, you know, learning and just taking steps forward and stuff like that. So, yeah, every day we're just trying to chop wood and keep learning and keep growing together and just keep grinding. That's all we can do.
What'd you think of your first crowd reception from Raider Nation?
Oh, it was great. You know, obviously I haven't been a part of this for too long, but Raider Nation seems awesome. So I'm thrilled to be a part of it, and it was great to see all the Raider fans here. You know, for the game and for the weekend, it was a lot of fun.
You've talked in the past about loving football the way you do. So growing up a kid loving the game, how cool is it to play here, this venue, for what it means?
Oh, it's so cool. You know, I was fortunate enough my rookie year we came and toured the Hall of Fame, but to be a part of this game and to be a part of the entire week and what it means, and you know, obviously this weekend with the two people we have going in the Hall of Fame, it's really special, and you know, something I can remember forever. You know, playing in the Hall of Fame game was a lot of fun.
So there was Jarrett Stidham. He got to start on Thursday, and I thought he did a really good job. Showed that he had a pretty good idea and understanding of the offense. So definitely the leader in the clubhouse as far as the backup quarterback position goes. Of course, he's got a lot more work to do, but right now I feel pretty comfortable with Jarrett Stidham being that guy. Now, with that being said, you don't want Derek Carr to ever go out. If Derek Carr goes out, then you're in trouble. You know, simple as that. But good to know that you do have Jarrett Stidham that's right behind Derek Carr as of right now. So how about Zamir White? I mentioned before, he's a guy who did really well. I talked about him in segment number one. He had 11 carries for 52 yards. And I'll tell you, you got to just listen to him talk. And I promise you, you can almost see a smile on his face. Here's Zamir White in the locker room following the Raiders' 27-11 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, it wasn't just you. It was kind of the whole running back room. Seemed like had a big day. Did you see some signs? You knew that was coming?
Hey, man, just grind and compete, man. That's all we do. So, yes, sir.
How did it feel to truck that guy?
Great, man. Hey, man, just get physical, man. That's what I like to do. So, yes, sir.
And were the nerves going through it, even though it's preseason, but just first NFL experience?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Like the whole game, I was, like, just trying to lock in and just be, like, on task with every single thing. So, yes, sir.
Yeah. So how do you get into a zone like that? What's your keys to?
But just quietness and just peace, man. Yeah, man, that's it, really. Like, just lock in and just focus. So, yes, sir.
What are you expecting to see on film? I mean, it's one thing to do it live, but when you go back, are you expecting to see good things on film too?
I hope so. Hey, man, just go back to Vegas and just compete some more. Yeah, man, that's about it, really. So, yes,
what does a game of football mean to you? Because you've just been smiling the whole time I've been talking to you. So you love the game and you're passionate about this.
Man, listen, bro, like, I really love the game. Since I was probably like 6 years old, like, just going out there doing drills, but with the older guys. So, like, yeah, like, I love ball, man. Yes, sir, that's my life, really. Ball. Yeah, ball and horses, but that's what I do.
Nice. Hey, man, that's
it. Horses?
Yes, sir, I got 12 horses back home. Yeah, man.
For
yeah.
You, what's that first moment like? You dream of playing pro football your whole life. First time you're in the huddle and your number gets called.
Blessed, man. Yeah, man, just blessed to be out there with this great team and just grinding with them. So, yes, sir.
What did you think of Amir's touchdown celebration, the kick?
It was crazy, man. That was hard. Yes, sir, that was cool.
Another Georgia guy was kind of the star on the other side. Trayvon Walker had a good game. You get to talk to him at all? You guys tight?
Always. Like, the whole team, like, real close. Like, we all, like, talk on the phone still. So, like, we all really locked in still. So, yes, sir, we talk a lot. Yes, sir.
Got a little bragging rights tonight?
A little bit, you know. A little bit.
There's fourth round pick right there. Zamir White, running back out of Georgia. And I think he's got an opportunity to be a guy. Right now, of course, he's got to be healthy. He's going to have to learn a lot, but he's got a lot to like. Now, he's not the best receiver out of the backfield. He put a couple balls on the ground on Thursday night. He just didn't catch the ball, but I do think that Zamir White has a good opportunity to be something. And be something this year, you know, at least part of a three-headed monster this year. I could totally see him being that guy. I don't think it's going to be a redshirt year for Zamir White. So the next guy that we were able to talk to, second-year safety Trayvon Merrick out of TCU. It seems to me, and you'll hear me ask him the question that the game is starting to slow down to him. But here's Trayvon Merrick following the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night.
Finally getting that chance to get out there and actually hit.
Right, right.
How good is that?
Oh, it feels great. You know, just like you said, just go back out there and, you know, just, you know, do what football is all about, really. You know, in practice, you got to, you know, kind of taper it back and make sure everybody's healthy. But, you know, we got to go out there tonight and everybody to perform, so it was fun.
You guys look like you're picking up Patrick Graham's scheme pretty quickly.
You know, everybody's just trying to work, you know, work at it. You know, it's something we're going to practice all year round. So, I mean, nobody's going to be perfect at it. We just got to keep striving for it. So, you know, I think everybody's, you know, trying to pick up the concepts, so I think everybody's doing a good job with that.
Obviously, like you said, perfection, that's not going to necessarily happen, especially right. This time of year.
Right.
But for a first time out, how did it feel out there for you guys?
Oh, it felt good. I mean, we, you know, saw some of the new guys, some of the young guys come in there and, you know, do their job and do what they're supposed to do. So, you know, do see that, you know, improvement every day coming in tomorrow and watching the film. You know, it's going to be a good day for them.
So. You feel like the game has slowed down for you personally, being your second year now?
I mean, it's hard to say, you know, to really go out there and, you know, have a couple snaps like that. But, you know, that's something that I do want to focus on, you know, just slowing the game down. You know, just whether that be just watching more film or whatever. But, yeah.
Even in training camp, I mean, you were, you know, doing one-on-ones against Waller, and we were sitting there watching saying, okay.
Yeah.
How much better does that help you when you're going up against a guy like him?
No, it's fun competing against Waller. You know, he's a great athlete. You know, he's just a good guy to compete against. You know, he's going to come in every day and work me, and I'm going to work him. So, you know, iron sharpens iron, and that's what we try to do every day during one-on-ones and practice. So.
A guy you came in with in your draft class, Diablo, seemed like he had a really nice night. He's making the calls out there, sure tackler. Yeah. Well, what have you seen out of him as far as his improvement over the last year? So?
Man, Didi just shows up every day, you know, just wants to improve. He shows up early to facility and just wants to get better, you know, learning, picking up everything, picking up the new defense, and then when it's his time to go out there and do his thing, you know, he's going to be ready for it. So I think he's making big improvements for that. So
there's the second year safety Trayvon Merrick, and I think he has a big year lined up for him. He has the opportunity to have a really big year. Again, when the game slows down to you, you could tell that you just play with that kind of control, you know, and he just seems like a guy who's going to play with a lot of control this upcoming year in this Patrick Graham led defense. And I'll tell you, I enjoyed what I saw from the defense, especially in the first half of the Hall of Fame game. Of course, the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, you can't really, you know, take too much from it, just because, you know, it's the last line of defense that's out there, and a lot of these guys don't get too much practice even with each other. And so to expect them to go out there and be a well-oiled machine is probably just not realistic. So, you know, what we saw earlier in the game, though, thought that that was pretty stinking cool. So just got a couple more that I want you to hear. How about another guy in the secondary, a guy that I've been talking about quite a bit, a guy who really shined, in my opinion, in only a couple of actual possessions or defensive possessions. That is cornerback Nate Hobbs, who played on the outside on Thursday night.
Shut out in the first half, didn't get a finish out to late in the game. From a defensive perspective, even though it's a preseason and all that, how good did that feel?
I feel like the first half, you know what I'm saying, everybody was on one accord, was on one page, and we was really just running to the ball and playing hard. I feel like if you do that as a defense, I feel like we got the type of defense that can do it. But I feel like in the second half, late in the fourth quarter, things got a little sloppy, a little not how we do things. But I feel like for the most part, my ones, twos, threes went in there and performed to our standard to the fourth quarter. So
I feel like the defense picked up everything pretty quickly. I mean, it's only the first preseason game, but you guys look like you guys were on the same page pretty quickly.
Yeah, I feel like from a player standpoint, I feel like we still need to do more. We still could get better, right. But I can see it forming together, how we getting on the same page. And I feel like when we do catch our groove for real,
how good and important is it, especially for a defensive player, the way the practices are structured, you can't tackle to the ground, to finally get on the field and do what you guys are supposed to do defensively?
Yeah, it's crazy because all week they preach, stay off the ground, don't tackle, don't do this, don't hit the quarterback. And then it's just like another whole different environment in the game. But that's what we play football for, man. That's really, I think every dude who steps in this locker room, they love the physical aspect of the game. So it's always a breath of fresh air. I know it sounds crazy. Breath of fresh air to be able to actually get physical and tackle.
You know, you tell us all the time, you'll play wherever they ask you to play. You were outside today, look fantastic. What is it like being out there on the outside now after spending the year in the slot?
It's like second nature, honestly. I played outside in high school and college and really, I don't really care where they put me. As long as I can be on the field and produce for the team, man, I'm gonna do that. It's a great opportunity. I feel like it's just special to be able to. With this coaching staff to trust me like they do.
There is Nate Hobbs right there, a guy that has an opportunity, another guy that has an opportunity to be a big-time player. And I'll say it, I've said it a million times, the Raiders do have some really talented young cats on the team. Do they have some veterans that are very good? Absolutely. But, man, having those young cats is where you really can build this roster and build this team up to last and be a good, consistent team for years to come instead of just a one-year thing and then all of a sudden they're back to square one and trying to rebuild that thing all the way up. So I think that Trayvon Merrick, I think that Nate Hobbs, guys like that, Divine Diablo, those are young cats that have 1-2 years under their belt that the Raiders have an opportunity to build with. So speaking of Divine Diablo, my final soundbite that I want you to hear, little locker room action, comes from Divine Diablo, who got a lot of burn at the linebacker position a year ago, and now he's taking his craft into his next year in the league. So here's Divine Diablo following the game.
Pitching a shutout in that first half, not give up any points until later in the game. How good does that feel defensively, just to kind of be on the same page and be able to do that in the first
half? It felt good. That was one of the main goals coming in, just being disciplined, lining up where we need to be, and making tackles.
Talking to Nate, as a defensive player, you're not allowed to tackle in practice, and all of a sudden you're going to turn that light on in the game. Do you enjoy that part of the game, and is it refreshing to finally get out there?
I do enjoy that part of the game. It's hard to, like you said, we can't practice and tackle in practice, so it was hard getting the field, but as soon as we got it, we picked it up after that.
I feel like you guys are getting on the same page pretty quickly. I mean, it hasn't been very long since you guys have been out there practicing at training camp, and you guys are flying around tonight.
Yes, sir. We took training camp very seriously, being on the same page, communicating, knowing your leverage. We just took that very seriously so it can be easy out there on the field.
How do you feel personally after having a year under your belt? I mean, you were able to play last season, and now since you're coming back in your second year, you feel like it just is like second nature to you?
It's getting there. I've improved a lot, of course, but I'm still working hard every day to get better.
Your coach had a nice little homecoming tonight. How good did it feel to cap it all off by giving him a win here?
It felt amazing. I knew how much it meant for him. I'm sure the rest of the team knew as well, so I'm glad we got the win for him.
Another guy that, it's easy to root for, Divine Diablo, a guy that was a converted safety turned linebacker. You saw him get a little bit of burn in 2021 and make a guy like Corey Littleton, a seasoned veteran at that linebacker position, very, very expendable. So I do think that you'll continue to see the reps go up and increase for Divine Diablo, but it feels like and it sounds like he's really in a good place right now, and a lot of those guys on the defensive side of the ball are in a really good place right now. So that's all I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Wanted to take you inside the Raiders locker room. Well, we did it. We made that happen, and there'll be a lot more where that came from. Very excited about the opportunity all year long. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Get to those all after I tell you about betonline.net. They are the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, even golf. They've got you covered. BetOnline.net continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, live in-game betting scores, and even podcasts. Go to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device. Learn about the action happening today. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Don't have a lot of time to calls and texts. Went a little bit long in segment one and two, but we'll get a couple in as we close things out on this Friday and close things out on this week here from Canton, Ohio. First up is a call from the 520. He's calling to hand out a few six-packs from the Hall of Fame game. Basically, share his thought on what he saw and almost had a little T3 Raider Facts sound to him. Here he is, a call from the 520.
Hey Q, looks to me like we need a couple of celebratory buckets of six packs. So here's six from the offense and six from the defense to party with for Raider Nation. I love the pulling O-line, man. That was great. The screen game, of course, is back. And Jacobs, with averaging 6.0 yards per carry in the first half against the best defense that the Jaguars wanted to put out there, I thought that was fantastic. White got 5.2 carries in the first half. Per 5.2 yards per carry. Over 40 plays from the offense in the first half, partly due to defensive stops. time of possession, domination, nearly 250 yards of offense in the first half with backups, and no false starts. But I think a couple guys might be running laps around the plane right now, just saying. On defense, through the first half, only 12 yards rushing allowed and 59 for the game. You know, what's the big problem with all the defensive tackles we've been talking about and worrying about? These guys dominated up front in the center. Divine Diablo, muy loco linebacker, man. That guy's everywhere. Darius Phillips can handle nickel if Hobbs goes to cornerback when needed. And the best rookie showing has to be Crosby with that Crosby intensity. Flying home with an undefeated Hall of Fame smile for Cliff. And dig this, 27 points for the Raiders, 11 for the Jags. 27 minus 11 is 16. So maybe that's a hopeful sign that Plunkett will be the next Raider in the Hall of Fame. Not impressed with the lack of accuracy or at least awareness of either of the Mullins or Stidham quarterbacks, but I am excited to see more from Chase Rabbit.
There you go, right there. A call from the 520. Thank you so much for that call, my man. Great breakdowns. A lot of good stuff right there to choose from. I don't need to go through all of it. I think you broke it down really well. Next time you call, man, make sure you leave your name, though. I want to be able to give you some props and not just say call from the 520. Up next, got a text from Easton Raider. And thank you for that call, by the way. Got a text from Easton Raider. My takeaway from tonight's preseason game, I seen some depth and good scheme and play calling. Running backs and defense impressed me, especially Zamir White and Matthias Farley. They play fast, smash-mouth Raider football. I was impressed. That's from Easton Raider. And I'll say this about Farley. He got in on a play really late. He was supposed to be in on, what was it, a kickoff? Was it punt kickoff? It was some special teams play, and he didn't get in there till late. He had to run in there, and then the Raiders ended up calling a timeout. And so even though he runs around and flies around and puts some big hits on, things like that, mental errors like that, this regime will not tolerate. And so I know that that was just the first preseason game of the year, but he's got to make sure that that does not become a habit, because if it does, this regime will get someone else in there, no doubt about it. Thank you for the text, my man. I do appreciate you. Next up, I got a theme going tonight. I got a call from the 316, so some more area codes coming to the show. Just call it right now to chime in about the game, what he saw on Thursday night, and how he feels about the team after he saw what they did on Thursday night at the Hall of Fame game. Here it is, a call from the 316.
You, Hall of Fame game looked all right. I was super impressed with Zamir White. I hope he's right behind Josh Jacobs. Better be. Thought he played really well. He needs the, he dropped a pass or two, but he played with heart and he played violently. Loved it. I thought Leatherwood looked pretty good. I get it. First game of the preseason. I'm okay with it. I think he looked pretty good. I'm just ready for some Raiders football, baby. Let's go.
Thank you for the call. Definitely appreciate you, my man. And, yeah, Zamir White did a heck of a job. And I think Josh Jacobs, he was running fast. He looked like he was running downhill as well. And I know a lot of folks were surprised that Josh Jacobs even got some burn in preseason game number one. But as Josh McDaniels mentioned to us after the game, he likes their his running backs to be able to get hit and to be able to go through that during the preseason, because they really can't duplicate that at practice. So good stuff right there. And just like I told my man before, make sure next time you call, you leave your name so I can give you some props. And just don't want to call you by an area code. I want to call you by your name. But thank you for the call. I do appreciate you. Got time for one more text. We'll take that text from Raider Matt in the OC. Said, what's up, Q? Raider Matt in the OC. I got to say, after watching the preseason game, this team looks real sharp. Offensive line looked in sync and offense was clicking. Defense was on the same page and Carlson looked on point. A little sloppy here and there, but two to be expected. I know it's only game one of the preseason, but couldn't ask for a better start. Team seems to be picking up the playbook and concepts well. Who stood out most to you? My vote was for Lester Cotton Sr. He made some nice blocks tonight, and I think, fingers crossed, the right side of the offensive line may not be as worrisome as we thought. Excited for this year. Appreciate all you do, Q. Raiders. Like that right there. That's from Raider Matt in the OC. And I'll say this. The offensive line, Alex Leatherwood looked okay, you know, but Brandon Parker, even though he was on the left side, he did not look very good at all. He got abused multiple times. It's going to be a growing pain still. I mean, I wouldn't say that, you know, they're looking really sharp. I think that they look better, right? I think they had a pretty good idea of what was being asked of them, but they still have a long ways to go. But yeah, I definitely believe that it was a step in the right direction Thursday night, and that they're starting to put this team together, and there's going to be a lot of contributors from this year's Silver and Black. But that's all I got time for. Thank you, Raider Matt in the OC, and thanks to everyone who chimed in on the show throughout the course of the week, throughout the course of the day, either a call or a text, even a tweet at your boy Q254. Try to get all that stuff onto the show. So definitely appreciate you. And hopefully, Raider Nation, you have a really good weekend. You know, your team is off to a 1-0 start in the preseason. I know that doesn't matter, but still, they looked the part. They looked like they knew exactly what they were doing. And I was pleasantly surprised and pleasantly pretty pleased with what I saw from the Raiders on Thursday night. So that's all I got time for on today's show. Coming up on Monday, we'll have more calls and texts. We'll have more news and notes. The Raiders will be getting back to practice. We'll hear from head coach Josh McDaniels later on today by way of Zoom. So there's plenty that we'll get to on Monday's show, and I'll be back from Canton, Ohio. So until then, Raider Nation, have a great weekend. Take care of yourself. Love on your family. Take care of your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.